Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see all of you. So, I had a new experience this week. So, there was a few of us that were able to make it to the meeting with Presbyterian Church this week on Wednesday evening. It was the first time that I have ever been in a Ash Wednesday meeting. So, like I said, I've grown up in the church. It was something that was never done in the churches that I've been in. It was fun. We had a good time. Those of us who made it and enjoyed it, and we had a good time with the people there. They were thrilled that some of us came, and so it's the beginning of building a relationship with just one of the other community churches here, and it went very well. And so I thought, well, if I don't know anything about Lent and what's going on in these next weeks up to Easter, probably maybe some of you don't either. So I'm going to talk today about what is Lent, why they commemorate this time. So Lent is the 40 days, and now it's just weekdays, because you'll notice that there are actually more than 40 days between now and Easter, between last Wednesday and Easter. But if you take out the Sundays, there's 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday. So it's commemorating the Lord's 40 days in the desert when he was tempted by the devil. And it's supposed to be a time of fasting and repentance. And that's why I was thrilled with your communion meditation today, just because of repentance. That, you know, it just so we're going to be looking at some of the scriptures this morning that talk about fasting, talking a little bit about fasting and repentance today, so that we can. I don't know. So as I've grown up and watched other churches and other people, I've noticed that during this time, people give up things. And I noticed that. So we're going to be seeing that in Daniel here in a little while. So Daniel, when he fasted, ate no red meat, and I think that's probably why some people give up red meat, and that's why there's fish sandwiches at most of the fast food places during Lent. So there are certain things that people give up for it, and it was neat that Pastor Deb, she was talking about giving up things. She said, people give up coffee for Lent, they give up just different things. She said, why not give up anger? I thought, wow, what a great thing to give up, you know, because a lot of us, some of us get, when we get angry, we're not very nice to be around for a little while. So why not try to give up something like that in our lives that shouldn't be there anyway? So it's a time. It's a time. It's a 40 days of a time of commemorating the Lord's time in the desert, and then while he was there, as we'll see, we're going to get into that first after I pray here. But that's what we're going to be looking at today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had this week to share some time with Pastor Deb and her and the church there at Presbyterian. Lord, we just ask for your blessings for them. Thank you, Lord, for helping to build relationships with the local churches, Father. And we just ask, Father, that you'll have your way today. Lord, that you'll just speak to us through your word. Lord, just speak to our hearts. That we'll pay attention to our lives, to what we're doing, Father, and repent of the things that we know we're not to be doing. That we'll come with repentant hearts and, Lord, come before your presence. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin today in Matthew. I actually started out in Luke, and for some reason I went back to Matthew. So this It's only in Matthew and Luke, I believe, are the accounts of Jesus in the wilderness. But we're going to go to Matthew 4. Let's begin in chapter 3, actually. I just want to give you a little bit of background, bringing you up to Jesus going to the wilderness. So it's right after Jesus was baptized by John. So Jesus, he came up out of the water. Let's begin in 13 of chapter 2, or 3, I mean. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented, and as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, and I've said this before, I have never ever tried to do a 40-day fast. I don't know how they did it. God would have to tell me to do a 40-day fast before I would try to do that. But we're going to see a couple different scenarios of this. There's two or three different mentions in the Bible of 40-day fasts. But he was there in the desert. And I've noticed this about Jesus, that when he wanted to be with the Father, he got alone by himself in a solitary place. A lot of times he went to the mountain, but in several instances he went to the wilderness or went to the desert. And said after 40 days and 40 nights, and I can imagine how hungry he was, because it seems like after one day I just want to go eat anything I can get my hands on. But Jesus was going in the power of the Spirit. He was called by God to do it, and I would say only do a long fast if you're called by God, because of the physical problems that could develop. Make sure that if you try to do a long fast, one for weeks, that you know that you're called by God to do it, because of the side effects that could happen. So the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So you'll notice in each one of these temptations that Jesus had an answer. Jesus had a scripture to answer the devil when he came to him. So we not only have to have physical bread to eat, but we need our spiritual manna from the Word of God every day. This is one of the lovely verses that we have that talk about how our need for our spiritual man is actually more important for us than our need for physical food. So that's why we love to spend time with the Lord every day, taking in the Word and eating His Word, getting to know Him. So then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he uses that "if" every time, doesn't he? said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So we're not supposed to test the Lord. And with every temptation, we have a scripture to combat the enemy. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him or ministered to him. So in each of these temptations, we see a verse or a word from God to combat the enemy. And we have that as well in our lives. When the enemy comes at us like a flood or comes at us subtly and deceives us, we have scripture to send him away. And he has to flee. He has no hold over us because Jesus broke that when he went to the cross. When he went to the grave and died, he defeated the enemy. And by doing that, he gave us power over the enemy as well. So just remember that when temptation comes. I don't know how many of you remember the verse in Matthew. It's actually in 17. It talks about Jesus being tempted. Let's just look at it. 17, 14 through 21. When they came, so this was talking about, wait a minute, do I have the right one? Oh. That's for, we are going to look at that. That's not the one I was looking for. Okay. Never mind. Mixed up. So let's go to Matthew 17 anyway. Let's look at that next. This is an example of fasting. This is Jesus after the transfiguration there on the mountain. And so this, the crowd, okay, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus. I'm actually in verse 14 of 17. Came to the crowd, and a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, he said, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. So then the disciples came to Jesus in private or later on and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Because they had been ministering with Jesus for a time now and had done miracles as Jesus had. But at this particular time, it didn't work. They couldn't drive it out. And so Jesus said, because you have so little faith. He says, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And for some reason, in my NIV, this next verse was taken out. Verse 21 is not in my Bible. I don't know if any of you have that in yours or not.
No.
But it says, however, this kind goes not out except by prayer and fasting. So fasting is a time to prepare us to do the Lord's work as well. There's a lot of different reasons for fasting. So I have fasted in my life. If I have a big decision to make, I'll spend time in fasting and prayer before I make that decision, to make sure that I'm following the Lord's will, to make sure that I'm doing what He wants me to do, not what I want to do. Because in my life and business, I've had to make a lot of decisions that were going to make a lot of difference in our lives, and if I didn't get it right, that's on me. But if we go to the Lord with our decisions, if we take time to fast and pray over them and go to Him for them, it just makes life so much easier. But here we see that we need to fast and pray to be able to do the Lord's work, to be able to increase our faith even. Fasting increases your faith. So for me, when I fast, it's a time of giving up food for a while. You can decide how long you want to do that for. I've done 3-day fasts. I've done 10-day fasts. Actually, it's the longest I think I've ever gone. Maybe. Anyway, there's a lot of different ones, and I probably should have had Kathy teach this today instead of me. She's done more fasting than I have. So Kathy starts each year out with a fast. What a great way to start the year. I never thought about that until I was visiting with her one day here at the beginning of this year. And she said, yes, I said I fast every year. And it's an awesome idea. It's a great way to start the year out. To be on track with the Lord for the whole year. Just to get started in the right way. You know, we do all kinds of New Year's resolutions over the years, from when we're young to when we get old, and it's a way of the world. But what if we fasted and started our year out in preparation with the Lord? How much better would our life be if we were able to do that, if we did that each year? So it's a time for making decisions. It's a time to grow our faith. Let's go now to, we want to look at Elijah. And when he did come back from after the prophets of Baal failed. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings. Kings 18:36-40. Okay. So this is right after this was when he was having this showdown with the prophets of Baal, right after that, when they could not call down fire. And they were spent hours and hours and hours calling out to their God, and he couldn't do them any good. So he had them drench the altar with water. Do it again, he said. Do it again. So they drenched it. There was water laying in the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." And the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." And they seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered them there. And then at the end of the chapter there, let's just go on down to chapter 19 and look at a few verses in 19. Because he goes on from here then to a time of fasting. And it says, now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them, one of the prophets of Baal. Elijah was afraid, it says. So why would Elijah have fear if he's walking with the Lord? He just got done seeing the Lord answer with fire. And yet, when Jezebel sent that note to him and told him that she was going to have him killed, he was afraid. Sounds like kind of some of our lives, doesn't it? We'll have little things happen that the enemy will put fear on us, and we'll let it build until it becomes a mountain. But we know that fear is a liar. And fear was a liar here as well. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, so now Elijah also went into the desert to spend some time with the Lord. And he says he came to a broom tree and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. So he was tired. He was tired of it. And that's what he tells the Lord. He said, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and they laid out again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. So, in Elijah's fast was, the reason he fasted is because he was going to another place, and it took him 40 days and 40 nights to get to the mountain of God. But he was going to meet with God, and he was preparing for that. So a fast can be used in preparation for a time with the Lord, a time when you're just going to spend some quality time with the Lord. And so that's why Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I want to look at Daniel yet. So let's just turn to Daniel. There's actually a lot of stuff in the Word of God on fasting. We're not going to look at nearly all of it today. And in fact, probably won't even get through all that I had written down. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Each one of these that I chose is a different length of fast, and for different reasons. And that's why I wanted to show you there's a lot of different things, different reasons that we fast. And the reason that the church has chosen these 40 days is to commemorate Jesus' time of fasting there in the desert. So in Daniel 10, I want to begin actually in verse 1. And read down through 14. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees, and he said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding, to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, where the vision concerns a time yet to come." So you see, when Daniel was fasting here for the 21 days, when he started the fast, God sent a messenger to help him. That messenger was detained for 21 days. So Daniel continued to fast until he had a breakthrough. There's going to be times when the Lord tells you to fast that you won't know how long it's going to be until it's done. But he'll know, he'll tell you when the end will be. So here we see that the prince of Persia, of the Persian kingdom, resisted him, says, for 21 days, and that's how long that Daniel fasted, was for 3 weeks. And at the end of that time, Michael came through and helped him. The other one that I wanted to look at was Paul, and you all know this story. Paul went on the road to Damascus. I'm not going to look at it. It's in Acts chapter 9, if you'd like to look it up sometime. But it's when he was blind. He was blind for 3 days, and he fasted those 3 days while he was blind. He thought he was doing what the Lord wanted until he met the Lord on that road, and the light of Jesus Christ blinded him. But Paul was seeking the Lord as well for 3 days, so he had a 3-day fast there in Acts chapter 9. And then in Acts 17, it talks about, let's see if I can just find that. I want to read that before we close up today. Acts 17, verses 27 through 30. Let's begin with verse 26. "From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's designer skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." So repentance is also a big part of this 40-day time, a time of fasting and repentance. in all of our lives, we have little things and big things that the enemy deceives us into doing that we know is wrong. And we have a time of repentance. And the neat thing about Jesus is that we can come anytime, all the time, and just repent before him, and he forgives us. As I was doing my daily devotions this morning, I had to bring this because this is what was on for my daily devotions. Joel 2:12 says, "Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel repeatedly turned its back on God. In the book of Joel, Israel experienced a time of national calamity as a result of God's discipline. But even after Israel's disobedience, God called the nation to repent and turn to him. He does the same thing with us. When sin lures us away from God, we lose the fellowship we are intended to experience with him. But God beckons us back to fellowship no matter how far we've strayed. We can be confident that God will embrace us if we return to him. His grace is stronger than even our most heinous sins. The prophet Joel instructed his audience to return with fasting, weeping, and mourning. In other words, they needed to repent and demonstrate remorse for their sins. God is full of grace and lovingly embraces the prodigals who return home, for he also calls for his people to repent of sin. So that's what I wanted to share with you this morning, the reason for these 40 days is a time to spend getting close to the Lord. Repenting if we have sin. Repenting of anything that is wrong with our relationship with the Father. And a time of fasting and weeping before the Lord. So, now you understand a little bit why we have Lent. Why it's been part of the Christian church for years. And that's, I actually looked it up in my dictionary again. You youngsters don't know what dictionaries are, but I still have one in my library at home. I don't know how to use Google, so so I still use my dictionary. It's a great way to figure out what words mean. So as you come this morning, if you have needs for prayer, we would love to pray with you. Just remember to prepare your hearts before the Lord. And if you want to have a time of fasting, it's just a great way to draw near to him and to rely on him. When you don't have food for strength, you learn to rely on his strength. Because that's what Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So through our physical weakness, Jesus gives us strength. So as the praise team comes for a final song, come along and we'll pray with you if you need it.